Joel has served up his usual buy-side form of acquisition agreement, which is, of course, preposterously buyer-favorable. It contains, among other things, 25 pages of dense representations and warranties to be made by my client, the target company, about every facet of the target company's business. 60 representations and warranties in total, very comprehensive. This afternoon, we're going to focus on the buyer's walk rights, the buyer's ability to terminate and walk away from the deal after the acquisition agreement has been signed and announced, but before the deal has closed. And these walk rights are, of course, shaped by the closing conditions included in the acquisition agreement, specifically the conditions to the buyer's obligation to complete the transaction. And we're going to focus in particular on the so-called accuracy of representations closing condition in our negotiation session today. Those of you who do a lot of this know that this particular condition has become one of the most contentious provisions in the world of private company acquisitions today. It didn't used to be so contentious, but today it is, and hence we're going to illustrate the negotiation of that condition today. So you should have our slides and the materials. Those of you following along, please take a look at the first slide. So Joel, this is what you've proffered. Let's take a look at what you've drafted here. Basically, the condition to closing, says that your client, the buyer, is going to be able to walk away from this deal with complete impunity if any of my client's representations and warranties is inaccurate in any material respect when made on the signing date, or is inaccurate in any material respect as brought down to the closing date. Do I have that right?
It's absolutely what it says.
Okay, well, good.
Very straightforward.
Well, we agree on something at least. So I do have a problem with it though. It's a very broad, it's a very powerful condition, Joel, as you've drafted it, because it takes every single one, note the language, each of Target's representations and warranties, it takes every single one of the 60 reps and warranties that my client is making and turns it into a separate walk right. And you know, to add insult to injury, the accuracy of those representations is tested at two distinct points in time. First, at the signing of the acquisition agreement, and then again on the closing date, which can be, you know, it'll probably be, if we don't get early termination, at least a month after the signing, and maybe further on down the line. So it's really, when you think about it, this is 120 conditions rolled into one. And if any of these representations is wrong, either on the signing date or is brought down to the closing date, your client can walk away. And we just can't have that, Joel. It will be an unmitigated disaster if this deal gets signed up and publicly announced and doesn't close.
Well, Rick, I know that you're prone to hyperbole, and unmitigated disaster seems a little bit strong. I guess first, for whom? Do you mean for you and I and our firms, or do you mean for our clients? And either way, could you kind of explain why?
Well, look, once this deal gets publicly announced, irreversible things happen to my client. A bell gets rung that can't be unrung.
Oh, or now we're into the slogans, or the toothpaste can't go back into the tube.
Yeah, exactly. You can't put that horse back in the barn. You can't put that genie back in the bottle. Just what I was going to say. You took the words right out of my mouth.
I've heard them before.
This is really going to be bad.
Yeah, well, let's go away from it's going to be bad and talk about in what way? I mean, what are you so worried about?
Oh, you know, so I think you know the answer to that. Because on hearing an acquisition announced, my client's very talented, but, you know, this is a tech company, you know, filled with really talented millennials, including software engineers and others. They're also insecure. You know that. And so my client's very talented but always insecure employees will flood the street with their resumes. Many are going to leave. You know how insecure people get when an acquisition is announced. They don't know about their futures, et cetera. My client's insecure customers will delay or even cancel orders because they're not sure whether the products that they've come to know and love are going to be properly maintained under your client's stewardship. And it's going to send my client's backlog and revenues into a tailspin. And these employees and customers won't come back. My client will be irreparably damaged. If the deal doesn't close, my client is going to be damaged goods. It will be left flapping in the wind. It'll be game over. That's an unmitigated disaster.
Okay.
We're going to lose employees and customers.
I agree, but I wouldn't understand that because that has some implications for us, too. I mean, if you're talking about, which I think you are, behavior that occurs between the signing and the closing, that the employees are flooding the market with their resumes and leaving. And I think that's the time period you're talking about, because you talked about they're not coming back.
Right.
What you're telling me is I should, and my clients should plan, that at the close of the acquisition, we will be buying damaged goods. And so, as we look at the pricing and the way we behave during the period from signing to closing, we have to think of ways of trying to mitigate that.